and welcome to WrestleWolf, brother dudes and dudettes. This is your AEW Rampage buy-in and Rampage review and recap. I'm your host, Dr. Damian Gibson, DMD. Let's get into it. So a lot of talk about this week's Rampage, seeing that it was going up against SmackDown for half an hour. To try and get more views on it, there was a Rampage buy-in on YouTube, which is not usually the case. Those sort of things are usually reserved for pay-per-views, usually reserved for big pay-per-views as well. It's not always done. It depends on the promotion. Anyway, wrestling, a lot of different rules for a lot of different people. The talk of the town was that Bryan Danielson was going to take on Minoru Suzuki on the buy-in. Minoru Suzuki is a legend of Japanese wrestling, in particular New Japan, but has kind of been doing a American tour in the last, he's been around for the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks. So, and he's basically wrestling everyone. He's doing all his dream matches. He's going to be on Impact soon. He's done AEW. He showed up on some New Japan Strong stuff. He's doing Impact. Look, just look him up. You'll see all the matches that he's been doing. If you've got a Fight TV account, you'll be able to watch most of this stuff. I mean, you've got to pay for it. But anyway, the one thing he didn't have to pay for is the buy-in for Rampage. So Tay Conti got a win here initially. Fine. They're building her up, which is good. I've already spoken about Tay Conti in the past. She's got a lot of potential. All good. Anyway, let's get to what I think is probably going to be my favorite match of the year. That, again, I know that constantly changes. We've got the Bucks versus the Lucha Bros in the cage at All Out. We've got Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. I think that loses marks a little bit because of the timeout or the draw. Which I really liked as booking, but I don't know if you can call your favorite match of all time or the year when it's a draw, you know? I mean, I suppose you could. You can do whatever the hell you want. Anyway, Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, versus Minoru Suzuki. I love this match. Suzuki didn't pull any punches with Bryan Danielson at all. There wasn't any protection going on here. A lot of the time over the years in different wrestling promotions, the stars will be protected a little bit, except kind of at pay-per-views. That's where they'll go hell for leather. You know, you wouldn't, and this isn't a criticism of WWE, but you wouldn't see Roman Reigns in a match like this. You definitely wouldn't see it on a buy-in on YouTube. And yeah, I mean, the amount of abuse that both guys, but in particular Danielson, took to tell the story in this match is phenomenal. And I mean, you could point it out as being as showing Danielson's level of commitment to AEW, which I think is definitely there. But you know, Excalibur talked about in the promo beforehand how much Bryan just loves wrestling, and you could tell in this match that he was having the time of his life. I love the lack of respect that Suzuki had for Danielson throughout this match, even towards the end. It's not like by the end, you know, the sort of fairy tale story is, oh, well, by the end of the match, you know, Bryan or Danielson earned Suzuki's respect. No, none of that at all. And there was, you know, just the story of like this cocky monster who is completely underrating the American champion. I mean, not that being American had anything to do with it, but, you know, he's coming across from Japan. He's a big deal over there. Comes to America, just doesn't think, you know, whatever, you wrestled in WWE for 10 years. Who gives a shit? I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And then loses. There was enough of a story told here that, you know, like with Suzuki being on top for the majority of the match, that if they wanted a part two, they could definitely make that happen. If it's a one-off match, then, you know, I mean, you know, a match is something special when the guys on commentary are struggling to find the superlatives to sum up how much they're enjoying the match. They became, there are times in wrestling where everyone involved becomes a fan, and even people like Taz, Excalibur, I mean, Taz has been around forever, right? You know, ECW, like early 90s, has been in WWE, has been in AEW basically since the start, you know, indies, blah, 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 blah. He's seen everything, and he was loving this match, you know, like it was completely lost the heel character and was like, man, this is just amazing. I think this is modern wrestling at its best, because kayfabe, you know, there seems to be a prevailing attitude that kayfabe is dead and it's been ruined, even though I think you could quite easily like keep writing things as kayfabe and just ignoring everything else. Although, I mean, I did say on Impact that Brian Myers and Matt Cardona should stop pretending that they hate each other on Impact. But anyway, I think what you need to do now to tell stories that people are into is for the wrestlers themselves to take on a bit more brutality in the matches, to put their bodies on the line a little bit more. I'm not saying that those guys should be going out and killing themselves, but when you watch a match like this and you see what the two guys in the ring put their bodies through, that's how, I mean, they're both very good at what they do, but that's how you get people on board. I checked last night, there was about 750,000 views on the YouTube clip on AEW's channel in 2 days. And I know people might point at that and go, whatever. They leave that up, you know, that this match will just continue to get people into AEW, because you'll watch this match and be like, oh, holy shit, if this is the kind of standard of wrestling I can expect to see on AEW, I might as well give it a go for $7 a month or whatever. I mean, I think it's even less in the States, like $5 a month or something like that. So amazing. And then led into Rampage, where I was like, oh man, this is going to be a bit of a letdown. We had Matt Sydal versus CM Punk. It's very easy to forget how good of in-ring operator Matt Sydal is. If you remember him as Evan Bourne in WWE, you know, he's one of the best high flyers I've ever seen. He's had quite a few injuries over the years because of that, and has kind of developed more of a mat wrestling / yoga hybrid that he does, and showed what he can do in this match to great effect. I like the story being told that Sydal's trying to blow up Punk, because that is a reference to a lot of people's criticism after Punk's first match. It's like, oh, it looks like he's got no aerobic ability, you know, as coming from a bunch of overweight fuckheads on their couch, you know.
Well, Punk doesn't look like he's done much exercise in the time that he's gone.
I liked that little reference. I really liked Punk and Sydal punching each other off the top rope. It's not something that I've seen too much of before, mainly because of the bumps that they both took look pretty brutal. It wouldn't be an episode. It wouldn't be a WrestleWolf review if I didn't have something, a bone to pick with the commentators. Please, AEW, stop using the term veteran. When you use the term veteran, and maybe it's used differently in American sports coverage, but it just to me, the first thing that comes into my head is washed up. So when you say CM Punk's a veteran, even though that is true, you know, I mean, he's been wrestling for 20 something years, same as Sydal. You're selling a product here, right? And AEW is meant to be the vibrant young company where you're constantly talking about every single wrestler in the company being a veteran. I'm pretty sure that's the first thing that comes into people's heads. Also, it plays into this narrative of like everybody in AEW is a WWE cast off. I just think it's, you know, it might seem like a small thing, but I think it's really important to just drop the word. I mean, I'm not saying we should have AEW should have a list of words you can't say, but it just eradicate it from your vocabulary unless it's really warranted, unless you're talking about someone like Jake the Snake, you know, like it just didn't like it. Sydal was on top for the pretty much for the majority of this match. And again, it's another example of CM Punk putting over people, which he would not have to do at all. But it's obviously doing that. It was interesting to watch the, it was like a 6 minute promo going into this match, which one shows the real improvement in AEW's production values. So well done to everybody involved with that. Things look amazing. I mean, it looked like WWE video promos. It looked amazing. I don't know if they've stolen people from WWE to do these promos, but they looked great. We all know that CM Punk and Evan Bourne have got a relationship. There's that photo from 10, 12 years ago where all the belts exchanged hands on a certain pay-per-view. I can't remember which one it was, but it was like Punk, Daniel Bryan, Evan Bourne / Matt Sydal, Kofi Kingston. I think Beth Phoenix was the women's champion. And it was kind of, you know, I think a tweet was sent out of like a new generation of WWE wrestlers, and that lasted for about 3 months, and then we went back to, you know, Triple H and Randy Orton. But anyway, so we know that they're friends. We know that, like, they work together. I mean, they had amazing footage. I don't know if they got it off Sydal or Punk or whatever, but of them basically wrestling in an armory to like 11 people from like 16, 17 years ago. This is why you should go support your local indie wrestling promotions when you can, man, because you never know who you're going to see. You'll be able to tell people, like, I saw CM Punk wrestle Matt Sydal in an armory in front of 9 people. You'll be able to bore all your friends with that story in 20 years' time. Anyway, this is a great match. CM Punk gets the win. It's a hard-fought win over Matt Sydal. It elevates Sydal a little bit, and I think he'll end up being in this Leo Rush faction that's going on. So, cool. Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's nowhere near as good as Bryan Danielson versus Suzuki, but was a good match nonetheless. Taz singing is my new favorite thing. So singing along to Ruby Soho's theme song, which is Ruby Soho by Rancid. Ruby gets the win in an underdog way in this match against the Bunny, which I wasn't 100% sure of. And then Penelope Ford comes down, and her and the Bunny beat down Ruby Soho. I don't know about Penelope Ford, guys. Have we seen any improvement in her in 2 years? I mean, she's one of the people that came on board almost immediately. And I think the majority of those people that were signed that we didn't really know much about when AEW started have all come along in some shape or form. You know, whether that's the Lucha Bros, Sammy Guevara, Orange Cassidy, even wrestlers like Tay Conti or Anna Jay, you know, Chris Statlander, Hikaru Shida, they've all improved in some shape or form, you know. I just don't know. And I think maybe that's why they've tagged her with, like, that's why they've paired her up with the Bunny to try and, one, bring her out of her shell a little bit on mic. But I just don't know if her ring, she can wrestle okay, but it's a lot of gymnastic stuff, and it just feels like she's always a little bit late to the spots, and I don't know. I mean, she's very beautiful, I understand that. She's marketable, so, you know, I'm not saying throw her away, but I just, you know, watching this match, I was like, I just don't know if Penelope Ford has done anything. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it kind of is a bit like Nyla Rose as well. I just haven't seen any change in them or any improvement in them. To be fair to Nyla Rose, I've seen a more on BTE, on Being the Elite, Nyla Rose is actually pretty fun. And trying to get that onto TV is what should be happening. But Penelope Ford, I just haven't seen, you know, she just seems very wooden. And, you know, for a wrestling show, it does nothing. So you either need to put her with a manager, which could be the Bunny, or, I don't know, she just needs to move on or go and do some work in a place like NWA or Impact or something to be able to come back to, you know, because you're putting her on shows like this towards the top of the card. I don't know, man. It just, yeah, especially when you compare it to people like Ruby Soho, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, they're just light years ahead of her. So anyway, I feel like my next criticism review is going to turn a lot of people off, but this is how I feel about this. So we've got the top team, American top team versus Inner Circle. There's Mark Henry's interview, which I've gone on the record, I really like. I think now that Mark Henry's off the commentary desk and he's just doing these interviews leading into the main event of Rampage, all good. Excellent. Fantastic. I didn't enjoy this at all, this match. I was talking to Matt about this while I was watching it, and I was like, I don't think there's been one MMA pro wrestling crossover that I've liked. I think I've hated every single one. And that includes wrestlers like Brock Lesnar. I know Brock Lesnar is a wrestling fan. You know, Ronda Rousey. There's this attitude that seems to come across from MMA people of like, oh, this stupid little thing. And it belittles, you know, it belittles the product. Now, I know that these guys, this isn't me taking the kayfabe seriously and being like, oh, there's so many bad things about wrestlers, I hate them. It's the fact that if anyone outside of the main stickman, Dan, whatever his name is, cuts any sort of promo, it's terrible. Their in-ring work is terrible. I know people keep sort of talking about like the woman in top team is some sort of potential star. Okay, we'll go wrestle in the indies for a couple of years and then come back and, you know, like this kind of stuff is what was getting in the way of a lot of WWE stuff. The people would just be brought in, they'd be given title shots and main event matches that just, you know, the fans see that they don't deserve. I understand that wrestling is all kayfabe, but I mean this from a point of view of like, you know, you might have someone like, I don't know, man, Orange Cassidy, right? Who is a big star. People love him. He's been with the company from the beginning, but he's, and I know he's going to be on Dynamite, but he's not in the main event of Rampage. We've got a bunch of MMA wrestlers, so Jericho and Jake Hager can live out some sort of, I don't know, fanboy storyline here. You know, I mean, there are some occasional good moments, especially when Jericho's going head to head with whatever his name is. But I just, yeah. Del Santos looked out of his depth, unless he was doing anything that looked MMA-ish, and that's always the case, you know? Like, and then it just becomes boring. It just becomes grappling. They always, you know, like they can't make anything look fake, I know that's a bizarre criticism, but it's the truth. Like they just constantly, they look like people who are play fighting. And they just don't seem to give a shit, you know? Just continually, like, mentioning all the other people who were at ringside, like us as wrestling fans are meant to be impressed. I've said this on numerous other podcasts before. I don't think there's as big a crossover between MMA and pro wrestling fans. And I think that attitude of like, oh, you know, if we go after MMA fans, it's the same demographic. And look, I assume that wrestling companies have information telling them that. Otherwise, they wouldn't bother with these things. The only other reason I can think that they bother with these things is because they themselves are fans of MMA and they want to rub shoulders with these guys. Because personally, if I was running a wrestling promotion, I would be going after people who watch things like The Flash or, you know, iZombie. I'd be going after CW fans. I wouldn't be going after UFC fans, because as I can continuously keep saying, and I'm sure there is some crossover, I'm not saying there isn't any at all, but I think the vast majority of MMA fans, having known this from my last workplace where the majority of people I worked with were massive MMA fans, they had no interest in pro wrestling because to them, it's not real. And they want to watch people legitimately kick the shit out of each other. So I just think it's going after the wrong demographic. Look, Dos Santos did take a half decent bump through a table. I'll give him that. Jericho had the Lion Tamer locked in here. Top Team beat him down. They beat down Jericho. There's like eight of them. And then Santana and Ortiz hit the ring and they all bail. That was another thing. Like, if I take my dislike for all things MMA away from this, even the way that this thing was booked didn't make any sense because there's like 7,000 of them in the ring. Santana and Ortiz run down and then they all bail. You know, it just, I was like, I don't know. I feel like this is a mid-card feud at best. It looks like it's going to carry on. It probably looks like it's going to carry on to the next pay-per-view. I assume that Tony Khan and AWC potential crossover and dollars in having American Top Team. So I suppose this is something I'm going to have to put up with. But me personally, you know, I come to AEW to watch things like Danielson versus Suzuki. If I wanted to watch a variety show, then I'd watch WWE. And that's no disrespect to that kind of product. If that's what you want to watch, fine. But it just feels very the Fed. Is it the worst thing I've ever seen in my life? No. But does it kind of frustrate me a little bit when it shows up on AEW programming? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's probably a little bit that I feel like the inner circle should have been broken up by now as well. I know they do good business. I know Tony Khan wanted to keep them together. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the point of a faction is to put at least one of the wrestlers in the faction over. Sammy Guevara is now the TNT title holder. I don't know if he needs the inner circle. You know, it kind of feels like maybe the inner circle need Sammy Guevara more than he needs the inner circle. I'd like to see Santana and Ortiz on their own as well. I mean, it does look, to be fair, it is consistent. Everybody kind of has a faction in AEW. It's kind of like prison rules. Everyone joins a gang. And so it's not the worst thing ever, but I don't know. There was just something, especially after watching Danielson versus Suzuki, not to bang on about it. This just felt a bit sideshow attraction. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see what the ratings were with SmackDown versus AEW. I mean, I think SmackDown the week before had done 2.1 million viewers and Rampage had done 500,000. So I think it's going to be a bit of a bloodbath. But anyway, it's all a bit of fun anyway, isn't it? I'm going to leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for listening and passing this on to other people. Our Twitter followers are going up all the time, which is amazing. Getting more positive feedback all the time from you guys, so thank you so much for that. If you want to help us out, you can by sharing it, as I just said, giving us a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, I think they call themselves now. That helps us get it to more people, get us up the charts. We are charting in some countries as well, which is amazing. Iceland, Canada recently. There was a few other countries, New Zealand, Australia. So like in the wrestling category, but still, I mean, that's amazing. It's a 1.5 man operation here. So to be charting anywhere, as I've said in the past, is amazing. And we just consistently sort of sit in there now. So that's because of you guys coming back and downloading it all the time. But we can get bigger and stronger always. And I can only do that with your help. So thank you so much. But if you could do it again, that'd be awesome. All right. You'll hear from me next with the Dynamite review. I'm sorry that things are a little bit behind schedule this week, but things kind of happening in the old personal life that have pushed things back a couple of days. Everything's all good, nothing bad, but, you know, sometimes life gets in the way. But anyway, until next time, brother dudes and dudettes, may your wrestling be good wrestling, and good night.